Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
All right.
Great.
Sound off. One at a time. There we go. Oh, good. Good. For our listening audience, for these past couple of weeks here on Neighbors of Hope's Word Made Flesh radio ministry, we've been discussing a topic of study within our men here at Neighbors of Hope. It's an annual study for us, and it comes from Brennan Manning's book, The Ragamuffin Gospel. Richard, before we went on the air, you brought up a really good question or insight or at least a topic from Brennan that you've been wrestling with. And so I'd like you to share that with our listening audience. But before we do that, I thought an appropriate scripture to speak on that topic we find in the first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. So would you be ever so kind as to read that for us?
Sure. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that has considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for the very reason I was shown mercy, so that is in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King's eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Okay. It's always humbling, I think, when we're reading from St. Paul, right? The Apostle Paul. He, as much as he gives a lot of ethical exhortations on Christ-like living, occasionally we get these little glimpses of his humility. All right, we hear from him here on 1 Timothy. We'll hear it from him in chapter 1 of Galatians. We hear it from him in Romans. There are other sections where Paul identifies himself being chief sinner as a persecutor of the church. Hunting down men, women, and children. All these things. I think Paul becomes a good model for us, Richard, predicated on your inquiry before we went on the air, which at this time I'd like you to share with our listening audience, and then we'll see if we can respond and have some conversation about that thereafter.
Okay, thank you. As we're doing our study, I come across, I come across not deserving grace. In this little paragraph, I'm reading, getting honest with ourselves does not make us accept God. It does not distance us from God, but draws us to him, as nothing else can, and opens us to a new flow of grace. While Jesus calls each of us to a more perfect life, we cannot achieve it on our own. To be alive is to be broken. To be broken is to stand in need of grace. It is only through grace that any of us could dare to hope that we could become more like Christ.
Okay, so you want to share a little bit about how that touched you?
Well, I just think that, me going through... And I got to refer back to this little boy into a man. I just think that there's at times and stuff that I'm working through my life that I don't deserve grace. You know, I feel like that I'm, you know, and I did. I felt like before I came to the program, before I, you know, was sitting under teachings and mm-hmm. and growing and learning and becoming a better man, that, that, you know, there's, you know, deserving. You know, I mean, you know, I don't feel I deserve what he's got for me. You know, and but that's, you know, being broken. You know.
Okay. It's a huge topic. Well, and by huge I mean it's a quite familiar topic, and I think even members of our listening audience would agree that I think all of us, when we encounter God through Christ and the grace that God shares us with, we wrestle with this idea of the worthiness of ourselves for that grace. How about the rest of you? I mean, if that's true, you know, what do you think about deserving God's grace?
I don't know. I think that's always that was a struggle. Like when I think exiting the military, I would say. So much, not as much in. I think that I was. There you're in a whole different world, so you're like, your emotions are up and down at times, and when you're trying to seek help, when I, at least for me, my experience when I was seeking help, I felt like I was being pushed away by people of faith, and I would say in leadership roles, because I think they had a hard time with their division between who their employer was and who their faith, and sometimes if I could look back on it now, it's because they had to do a job for the government, but at the same time, I thought they should be held to a different standard. And so it was my own personal beliefs. But when I was exiting, I think the grace is like, you know, not understanding and not having, I guess, a good rabbi, a good teacher to really teach me and understand what that really meant. And that just because I participated in something or that, now you look back, it's like, man, why did we do the things that we did? Or why were the things that the government has soldiers do, and not always the greatest things, you know? Like, how can I live with myself like that? How can I be forgiven for participating in any of those actions, you know? So that, to accept the grace was very difficult. And I think for me, until I came here, there was going to be no way. I was just going to live my life like everybody else that wanted to have that, you know, big house, big life. And then now that I've kind of experienced grace and understanding that he's always loves me, he's always there for me, no matter the choices I make. He might not like it, my choices, but he's going to be there for me. And it's just my choice to choose to be there with him.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else want to share?
Yeah, as far as grace, I was raised in a very strict Baptist home, and I was taught that we don't deserve grace, but Jesus has unconditional love for us. So if you just pray to Jesus and acknowledge you're a sinner and ask him to come to your heart and save you, and also that you do receive his grace, and you'll go to heaven when you die. Basically, that's what I was raised to believe in.
Has that helped you?
Well, I mean, there's been times in my life that I'm backslidden. But I remember everything I was taught growing up and I was around and things like that. But as you get older, you can make more decisions for yourself, so it's easier to get backslidden, I think.
I appreciate you sharing that, all of you. Is there anything? I don't want to overlook you either, but is there anything you want to share?
I can't think of anything as of right now.
Okay. Because there's a few things. That reading that you had from page 87 in Brennan's Ragamuffin Gospel does talk about a sense of humility, that we need to be honest with ourselves. The problem, and it's not that we're not necessarily honest with ourselves. I think sometimes we are so honest, we become fear-stricken on how we confess. Thus, we're so honest with ourselves, we know what we've done. whether you want to call it backslidden, we know our sins. We have not forgotten them. And yet, he says, but we can't necessarily overcome that on our own. Thus, the help of Jesus, as you said, Mark. All right. And traditionally, and in a more popular way, we tend to identify this, the church does, this grace as being the unmerited favor of God. You don't deserve it. And if we're going to talk about our sinful nature throughout the history of our lives, and those events that we are truly mindful of, that's correct. Brandon then goes on to say, but just because you're being honest doesn't mean he's going to love you more. All right? Because Brennan understands God's grace as being an expression of God's love. All right? And we learned in 1 John, God is love. So grace is an expression of love. Right? And so for him, it's just not us being honest with our actions, thoughts, plans, ideas, whatever that are, as the Bible would say, sinful, right? Unmerited. Right? God doesn't love us. We don't deserve it. Based on that. But Brennan's also going to help us understand that that's true, but let us never, if we're going to be honest, it's not about what I've done. Brennan says over and over, God loves you as you are. And what we learn from Paul in 1 Timothy or in the first chapter of Galatians or in Romans 7, Paul sees, I mean, you think about Romans, there he is locked up in prison, right? It's his last letter, at least that we have. Where he's saying, look, there are things I know I'm supposed to do, I don't do, and I hate the things that I do do. I mean, this is St. Paul, his last letter, not his first one. He's still wrestling with kind of this sinful nature. But yet he still recognizes that God still loves him. Thus, he will say later, just because grace abounds doesn't mean we go on sinning. Just because we know that God loves us even in the midst of our sin, that doesn't give us an excuse to go on sinning. It just means we haven't taken seriously the revelation of why God loves us, even though we're sinners. And that revelation is this. We do not deserve it based upon what we've done. Right? That's unmerited. It's not about what we've done. But we do deserve it, just like Paul, just like Jesus, just like Peter, all the apostles, all the saints of the history of the church, everyone listening today, we deserve it because of who we are. Not what we've done. We are beloved sons of God. Paul got that. Right? He's persecuting men, women, and children of the church. And he gets knocked off his high horse on the road to Damascus. And it says the scales fall off his eyes. And now he sees clearly, right, that it's God's mercy, it's God's grace that came upon him. Not because of what he's done, because he'll say, I'm the chief sinner. I've done all kinds of things that there's no way I would deserve this. We need to recognize that as well. It's not about what we've done. But Paul then realized, right, that he too was a beloved son of God. And God loved him for that identity. When we get to that point, then we can open up our hearts and our arms and just welcome and receive the gift. And stop trying to earn the gift. The more we receive it, the more it changes us. And then much like Paul, right, our response to that experience transforms our lives. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yeah, sure.
And that's where Brennan's talking about, that you know we need to embrace our brokenness. But it's in the midst of our brokenness, right? It's in the midst of us being honest that it's not about what I've done, but it is about who I am. Then I can open myself to grace, and I can warmly welcome that grace. All right, gentlemen, I hope that was helpful for you. I hope that was a blessing to our listening audience. And so until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.